This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You know, this is a party that is right now based on sort of white identitarianism.
My grandfather's 99th birthday would have been tomorrow. He suffered the indignity of being forced out of school to pick cotton, and he never learned to read or write. Yet, he lived long enough to see his grandson become the first African-American to be elected to both the United States House and the United States Senate in the history of this country. Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
A bizarre collection of alternative facts and alternative realities told by cranks and misfits that would never be allowed inside any convention.
I'm Herschel Walker. Most of you know me as a football player. I've known Donald Trump for 37 years. One time, I planned to take his kids to Disney World with my family. At the last minute, Donald said he'd like to join us. So there he was, in a business suit, on It's a Small World ride. That was something to see.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We have yet to really hear much in terms of the positive, optimistic, hopeful message.
So far, at least this night, it has been a lot of red meat, not so much optimism and hope.
I am so grateful to America, the place where I was able to build my American dream. I may be a Cuban born, but I am 100% American. This is the greatest country in the world. If I gave away everything that I have today, it would not equal 1% of what I was given when I came to this great country of ours. The gift of freedom.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Is today the winter solstice? Is it December 21st, the darkest day of the year? You would think that if you woke up this morning and you went onto the internet or picked up your local daily newspaper, because there was a recurring word in the headlines, just as we predicted yesterday. The word was dark. The Republican convention was dark, a dark vision, a dark theme.
Don't forget ominous.
Ominous.
It was very ominous last night. All that talk about America, the American dream, being able to, you know, give your children more than you had.
Liberty.
Freedom. Very bad stuff. Success. Capitalism. Very bad stuff. But actually, Howie, I was on the computer right before I came in, and Free Beacon, everyone here knows I love the Free Beacon because they do montages and they make my job easier so I don't have to sift through all of the sound. They put together a montage of the talking points that all of the fake news networks got today. This is the dark montage.
Let's start with this decision to go dark.
Dark, divisive version of America.
Dark and distorted version of reality.
Dark, dystopian view of America.
Dark warning.
Dark and sad.
Dark and divisive.
The first night of the convention, it really took a dark turn. It was ominous.
And painting a dark picture.
Painting a dark picture.
Painting a dark picture.
But a lot of people saw a very dark picture.
Dark and dystopian.
Absolutely dark.
Dark portrait of America.
Darkness, doom, and gloom.
It quickly turned very dark.
Pretty bleak, dark, and scary.
There were certainly a lot of dark and dire pronouncements.
Pretty dark vision as well.
Yeah, it's darkness and fear.
Some of the speakers were quite dark.
But there were also dark appeals to the president's base.
As for the Biden campaign, it did release a statement calling the first night of the RNC dark and divisive.
Who would have ever known? I also dystopian.
When I heard
that's an intellectual word.
Oh, there was also
you're smart if you know the word dystopian.
They missed apocalyptic. That was one of them that Mary Bruce said on ABC. But yeah, when I heard the story about Donald Trump riding the teacups at Disney World, that was the same thing I thought. I was like, ooh, this is dark and ominous. I think tonight I'm going to have a dark and stormy. I was going to have a Tito soda, but you know what? It's a dark and stormy kind of night. Yeah, so the RNC kicked off last night. Howie, obviously you've covered a lot of that in the first hour, but there is just so much sound to get to, and I would be remiss if I did not fill everyone in on the darkness that was the RNC last night. Let's start with Herschel Walker. Herschel. Well, I loved what he said. I loved Herschel. He did a fabulous job last night. He talked about his relationship with Donald Trump. I thought the most telling story was the fact that Donald Trump, how he treats the staff from the bottom to the top. And I want to play some of that because Howie mentioned to me, he said, with Joe Biden goes around telling people, I'm a big tipper. I'm a nice guy.
I'm middle class Joe. I talk to the waiters and the busboys, unlike those swells who call me middle class Joe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being a tough guy. If you're a tough guy, you don't have to tell everybody you're a tough guy. If you're the smartest guy in the room, you don't have to tell everybody that, right? Although Joe has been known to do that on more than one occasion.
And the most true is if you're a good tipper, you don't have to tell anybody that you're a good tipper. Word will get around fast.
Right.
If you're a bad tipper,
especially
word
now
will
that
get
you
around
have blogs with waiters and waitresses, they will report you if you are a good or a bad tipper.
But you don't hear a lot of stories about Donald Trump being any of those things, so it was refreshing to hear. This is cut 10.
I watched him as an owner of a professional football team. Right after he bought the team, he set out to learn. He learned about the history of the team, the players, the coaches, every detail. Then he used what he learned to make the team better. I watched him in the boardroom. He can be in the middle of a big meeting, but if one of the kids was on the phone, he dropped everything to take the call. He taught me that the family should be your top priority. I watched him treat janitors, security guards, and waiters the same way he would treat a VIP. He made them feel special because he knew they were.
He goes on to say that Donald Trump understands that those are the people that keep the country running, the people who are doing a lot of
those jobs. I remember the time Donald Trump was going on to Air Force One, and they took a picture of him. He had a $20 bill coming out of his pocket. And they went, what the hell is that all about? And the thing is, he likes to have it around because he can give that as a tip to somebody. Say what you will about Barack Obama, nobody ever saw him with a $20 bill sticking out of his pocket to give to the help.
Well, what about the other picture of him getting off of one of the helicopters in his hat? One of the soldiers who stands by, his hat kept flying off into the wind, and Donald Trump kept running to go get the hat for the soldier. And the soldier was like, okay, like, I got it, just let it go. And he did it like 3 or 4 times. He's just, it drives them crazy that he somehow connects with the regular guy, even though he's not a regular guy. Also, what I started to notice today, pulling sound from the media, is that there was such an undertone and condescension towards the diversity of last night. They hate the fact that Nikki Haley and Vernon Jones and all of these, you know, they had black people speak, they had women of color speak, they had all sorts of people speak. And there was a real sense that this was all for show. And that happens all the time. Anytime someone like Tim Scott comes out, he gets criticized for not being, you know, Joe Biden says, if you don't vote for me or if you vote for Donald Trump, you ain't black. It's that same type of mentality. So I wanted to play some of these clips, especially Anderson Cooper brought up the idea that having these speakers out there will give moderate Trump voters, like moderate white people, they'll feel better about voting for Trump. Because if Tim Scott says he's not a racist, then I can vote for him too.
I would wonder how many Donald Trump voters Anderson Cooper actually knows living in the bubble of New York City. It's like Pauline Kael, the old film critic, you know, in 1972, she was shocked that Nixon carried 49 states except Massachusetts. She said, how can that be? I don't know anybody who's voting for Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same way Anderson Cooper's the same way.
He doesn't
know anybody who's voting. Not even the doorman at his building is voting, or wouldn't tell him anyway.
So let's play cut 31.
How much do you think of some of this tonight was sort of giving permission to more moderate white voters that, you know what, it's okay for you to vote for Donald Trump despite his rhetoric on his, you know, his some of his racist rhetoric over the last 3 years.
And I also want to play.
Rhetoric.
This is cut 28.
Can we have a citation, please? Andy, or can I call you Coop?
Jake Tapper was in a terrible mood last night. He was
Jake Tapper,
extremely
Democrat operative with press passes, a made member of the Clinton crime family.
Listen to Jake Tapper talk about the diversity shown at the RNC. This is cut 28.
In terms of what the Republicans were accomplishing this evening, what they tried to accomplish, you're right, Wolf. I think they definitely were trying to appeal to the base. Obviously, they were
that's what a convention
showing a lot
all
of diversity
about.
In the people that they had speak this evening. It's not representative of the Republican Party as a whole, certainly not representative of the Republican Party or the Trump administration here in Washington, D.C.
So isn't that nice to know that all of those men who gave fabulous speeches last night, Tim Scott, Vernon Jones, all of those guys, Herschel Walker, they're not representative of the Republican Party, according to Jake Tapper, just so you know. And this just goes to show you, because I consider him like Donald Trump, he's part of the Democrat Party. They, if you don't fit the narrative, you don't count.
Who used to work for Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law, who was a congresswoman from Philadelphia, whose husband, a congressman from Iowa, went to prison for bank fraud and still owes $10 million in restitution that he hasn't paid off.
Howie, when we get back, I want to talk more about the RNC, including something that I think everyone's going to enjoy, which is the ratings that have come in for last night. You're never going to guess. This is a huge shocker about how they did last night. But before we get to that, I want to let everyone know that Grace's News is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, the house of value. I absolutely love my new RAV4 XLE that I got at Toyota of Portsmouth. Everyone there, from sales to financing, Brad, Jim Boyle, all my favorite people, they made me feel so comfortable, so cared about, and it was actually a wonderful car experience, which you don't always get when you go to a car dealership. Toyota of Portsmouth has a huge, clean, beautiful showroom and an incredible staff. They are located just south of the Portsmouth traffic circle off 95. Go to toyotaofportsmouth.com or visit them at the showroom and tell them Grace and Howie sent you.
I'm Howie Carr. Oh. If you're thinking about replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950 first. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. You can go use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. It was the go-to cleaner for when Mr. Gooner had an accident, as older pugs so often do. Before you purchase new carpeting, you must try Genesis 950. It's not just expensive. It's a real hassle to take up the carpeting and the padding underneath and having to measure for new carpeting. You don't have to do that. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner, and it's not just for pet stains. It's a disinfectant that kills viruses. It's also great for kitchens, garages, grease stains, wheels, tires, and more. Save yourself the trouble of going to the store and seeing your favorite cleaner sold out again. It's made in America, and as we like to say, buy American, support America. Order a gallon direct at Genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including free shipping and a free spray bottle with a 1 gallon purchase of Genesis 950. Go to Genesis950.com and enter code Howie. You won't be sorry you did it. Genesis950.com. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zucco from Hampton, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who had the best speech of RNC Night 1? Maximo Alvarez, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Nikki Haley, Kim Klasick, Tim Scott, Donald Trump Jr., or Herschel Walker?
I'm voting for Alvarez.
I'm going to say Tim Scott. I love that line that he had.
Caught into Congress?
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Gave me chills.
That's a memorable line. That will be in his obituary, I think.
Tim Scott is in first place at 28%. Maximo Alvarez is second at 27%. Nikki Haley has 16. Herschel Walker with 11. 8 for Kimberly Guilfoyle, 7 for Kim Klasick, and 4 for Don Jr.
All right, now I have so many cuts here, I'm deciding which one to go to first. But while I decide that, I would like you to know, Howie, that the RNC 2020 opening night ratings on C-SPAN blew away the DNC viewership. I love numbers. Talking, Republican talking points. These are Republican talking points here. Approximately 440,000 people tuned in to watch the first night of the virtual GOP convention, compared to just 76,000 for the first night of the DNC. And Howie, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but I saw a lot of people commenting, and Jared, I think you might have mentioned it as well, that the production value of the RNC was a lot better. And they weren't sure if it was purposeful, that maybe the Democrats wanted it to seem subdued for the coronavirus.
I don't think so. I mean, the Democrats, it seemed like something that out of Wayne's World, you know, didn't it?
Howie, speaking of that, I have to play this cut for you because you're going to get a kick out of it. Wolf Blitzer wanted to ask Dana Bash what she thought of the first night. This is cut 22.
The first appearance tonight from President Trump. Dana, your reaction?
Well, first of all, Wolf, they were really not socially distant, not wearing masks, and standing there talking.
Wah, 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 wah. It's like Charlie Brown.
Like the guy at Encore Casino in Everett here in Boston who got busted last week for having a party. Dana, we're all so over this. Do you understand?
Yes. And also, Howie, there was a great cut from Jake Tapper telling everyone how Trump has a big empathy gap compared to Joe Biden. And I do want to play that in 1 second, but I also wanted to let everyone know that we did have a cheap bastard deal. We got a lot of feedback on it because it went very quickly and people wanted to get the sheets. They're the Fresh Rest bedding. So if you guys want to, you can go to freshrestbedding.com and they're offering 40% off now through September. And also if you order more than $49 worth of product, you get free shipping. So freshrestbedding.com, I know we got complaints because it went really, really fast.
It did.
So this is their way of giving you the chance to get the deal. Anyway, freshrestbedding.com. Okay, so I want to play Jake Tapper talking about the empathy gap. This is cut 26.
Yeah, and you know, I'm struck by the fact that usually when a family member of the president speaks at a convention, it's to provide testimony as to how caring and loving that individual is. And certainly President Trump is somebody who is perceived as having a significant empathy gap with Joe Biden.
Well, you know, I come back to Mike Pence, what he said in 2016 about Donald Trump. And he said, I never knew Donald Trump before, but now I've met his whole family and I'm so impressed. And then he said something I'd never heard before. He said, you can't fake good kids.
It's true.
So, you know, I mean, maybe it's unfair to some of Joe Biden's kids, to Beau, who's dead. But would you stack up Hunter against Eric and Don Jr.?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No, I wouldn't. And I didn't gather that at all from last night either. All the stories people told about Donald Trump, there was plenty of empathy. There were plenty of you're not going to feel the empathy or like Donald Trump if you don't want to. And these people don't want to. They don't want to see any human side of him. And they don't want to like laugh. They pretend they don't understand a sense of humor. They've just cut that part off. So they're never going to see it. And Howie, lastly, Nancy Pelosi has gotten into quite the skerfuffle with her latest comment about Republicans. This is cut 46.
They're not the only ones. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States. They're doing everything they can to suppress the vote with your actions.
Why can't dead people vote? Why can't illegal aliens vote? Why can't convicted felons vote?
But Howie,
when is this suppression going to end?
You know what's really funny? Nancy Pelosi says that, and Savannah Guthrie gets on TV today and asks Tim Scott if he thinks Republicans should ratchet down the rhetoric. at the convention.
And saying that the Postal Service won't be able to deliver Social Security checks, which they haven't done for years. Where are the fact checkers?
Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points one day, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride the stock markets have been on, no matter what the reason, the coronavirus or before that, the oil price war abroad. You always need to be diversified. And that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you still haven't taken advantage of their no obligation guide, it's not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them now. 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show if you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. Joe Concha is with us. You see him sometimes on the Fox News Channel, and he's a media columnist for TheHill.com. Joe, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Howie, how you doing, man?
Good. Have they found your car yet?
Howie, it's amazing you've broached this topic. I got a call today from my sergeant in town. They found my car in Newark, New Jersey.
Newark?
Yes.
I'm sure it got a nice... Did they detail it before they dropped it off? I'm sure in a nice part of town.
Here's the best part. I said, so how is it? Is the car okay? The sergeant said, well, the tow yard only said that it had four tires on it. So we're not quite sure what this thing looks like, but I think it's in okay shape. We'll see. But, I mean, apparently, it is an amazing stat. These things are recovered almost 50% of the time. You would think they're gone. But if they can't unload them, they just leave them on a street somewhere. So that's what happened.
Well, that's good. Congratulations. Someone told me that this had happened to you and said Joe wanted to share with people his experience in Joe Biden's America.
Right. And I live in I don't think there's been any crime in my town until about like 3 weeks ago. And now suddenly we had 9 cars stolen on our block. 9, because they have this technology where they can point from the end of your driveway to see if your key fob is in range. And then so this way they don't have to check every car. They just know, okay, let's go get it. And by the way, stupidest invention of all time, Howie, is this whole not putting things in the ignition, the keys in the ignition anymore, because you could so easily leave your keys in the car if you don't have to pull them out of anywhere, you know, particularly when you have kids yelling all the time.
Yeah. Great. No, I know. I don't like that new system. Anyway, Joe, was it a dark night last night, or was it just my imagination? I thought it was December 21st, the winter solstice. It got dark so early.
Right, like 4:30, right? But no. We're still in August. Gets dark around 8:30. But no. Last night, dark is leading by secretariat proportions as far as the number one descriptor of the RNC. I mean, I predicted it too. I was on
Fox Press.
I said I could guarantee you.
It was an easy call, wasn't it, Joe?
it was between that and divisive. I didn't know which one to go with, but in the end, I think dark is definitely winning. Yeah, look, I mean, it's so predictable. I call it the WWE of punditry, where you know the outcome before it happens, you know, because it's all fixed. It's the same thing with political analysis, right, where you know that this thing's going to be panned all these days through, that everybody's going to be called a racist, that everybody's going to be called a liar, and sure enough, there it is. And what I don't get, Howie, is the conformity of it all. Like, if I'm on CNN or MSNBC, and I actually just call balls and strikes, and maybe I praised a speech from Tim Scott last night or Nikki Haley, you know what? Maybe that doesn't make me popular in the cafeteria or the virtual cafeteria, but at least I could be seen as honest and objective, and I stand out from everybody else, because echo chambers are boring, right? I think Van Jones gave it away. He said, after the Biden speech, he said, you know, we were all prepared to come out here, even if the speech was horrible, and say it was great. Like, he literally admitted that. I'm like, wow, at least, you know, he said the soft part loud. So, yeah, that's where we are. And I don't think anybody really even takes this so-called punditry seriously anymore, because it's so predictable that how can you?
No, Michael Kinsley said a gaffe was something in Washington when you told the truth inadvertently. And Van Jones did that last week. He committed a gaffe, you know, by saying that. You have a great tweet that just came out. New York Times preview of RNC speakers includes this. Nicholas Sandman, the teenager who was involved in a confrontation with a Native American man at a protest last year. Wow.
And that's it. That's all they write. Oh, is that what that's who Sandman is? He attacked this poor Native American guy at a rally? What else happened? Oh, yeah, he sued multiple news organizations, including CNN and the Washington Post, for $250 million, and they were so petrified and knew they were wrong because the evidence was overwhelming that they settled. We want to include that part or nah? So you got to love that from the New York Times.
I wonder if the Washington Post is going to call that Native American an austere religious scholar.
Oh, right, like Al Baghdadi, right?
Right.
And meanwhile, Robert Trump, the president's brother, dies, and in the Washington Post, in their obituary, it's Robert Trump, brother of Donald Trump, dies at 71. Niece sued Trump. No, he sued niece over book, like in the headline of the obituary. But you know, austere scholar for Al Baghdadi, where he said he loved playing soccer as a young man when he wasn't going to a mosque. I mean, you read this stuff, it's like, you had time to preview this. This is like you had to rush it out like it's breaking news. It's an obituary. You probably had one prepared. And this is what you got? Come on, man. I sound like Biden. Come on, man.
I know. I love Trump's response, though, over the weekend when it came out that Mary Trump had recorded his sister, the former federal judge who used to live right around the corner from him in Palm Beach. And she was saying some not too complimentary things about Donald Trump. And his only response was, every day it's something new. I thought that was a perfect response. Yeah. You know, not getting angry or anything like that, but just kind of like rolling his eyes and letting it slide off his back.
Because that's how it is, right? I mean, remember the Omarosa book, and that was supposed to bring him down, or Stormy Daniels was supposed to bring him down, or, oh, yeah, that book that came out just recently from his former national security advisor, right, John Bolton, that's a bombshell. Oh, that's right. It's all, like, forgotten, you know? It gets hot for a day, and then it leaves. And I think the American people, same thing. It's just like, yeah, whatever. Every day is something new, and now we have this woman who's acting like Linda Tripp, right, recording conversations. Yeah, you're a good person. Have fun making your little money now, but now you're a horrible person for recording this person without them even knowing.
Yeah, now you've got all, and now you got Vindman is going to write a book, right? The lieutenant colonel who was famous for 15 minutes in the Ukraine hoax. And then you have Andrew Cuomo. That's a great one. About how he saved New York. That's coming out 3 weeks before the election. I mean, come on.
What chapter, Howie, will be 12,000 dead in nursing homes in New York City because I signed an executive order putting COVID-19 patients back into nursing homes, which is like taking a flamethrower to dry grass? Is that chapter 6 or is that chapter 7? Or maybe, you know, chapter 8 can be how your brother, who plays a TV anchor on CNN, broke his own quarantine while still suffering from a fever, mind you, to the point where he got into a confrontation with a 65-year-old guy on a bike saying, hey, shouldn't you be inside? The guy actually filed a police report. What chapter does that go into? 32,000 dead in New York, right? And everybody screams about Ron DeSantis and how horrible he is. They have one-third the deaths in Florida, and that's an older population, and that's a larger population, and yet Cuomo's the one that's going to write a book. It'll probably be a bestseller because he can be able to promote it on CNN because they're not going to ask about nursing homes, are they, Howie?
And I'm just looking at the new story here. You know, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, just lifted the travel directive ban, saying you don't need to have quarantines. And so here's Cuomo, who's been talking like all of these blue state governors about how you have to follow the science and you have to rely on the data. But, you know, the CDC says something that he doesn't agree with. Ah, forget it. We're still keeping the quarantine here in New York State. Except, of course, for MTV convention that's coming in, something like that, over the weekends.
Yeah. So the Video Music Awards are on August 30th, and if you come in from out of town, everybody else has to quarantine unless you're Lady Gaga or if you're Kanye West, right? And Kanye, He flew into Teterboro here in Jersey on Thursday. He went to Manhattan. Then he switched over to the West Side Highway to switch vehicles. Then he visited an art gallery in Chelsea because he doesn't have to have to quarantine. So, yeah, that's what Cuomo's saying. Just like, you know, we cannot let up. We have to follow the doctors. We have to follow the science. But you know what? If Selena Gomez is coming in, well, that's different altogether, and she's able to do whatever she wants because it's Hollywood and we have to appease them. It's a joke, dude.
I'm surprised any celebs are still flying into Teterboro. Isn't that the last place Jeffrey Epstein flew in?
Didn't work out well for him. But I don't know. Yeah, he didn't kill himself, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. He did not kill himself, Howie. I'm winking right now.
I know.
Doesn't work on the radio very well.
So, Joe, what's...
Is there a live studio audience? Where are you?
We have VIPs. We bring in VIPs. Give Joe a round of applause, guys.
Yes.
I'm like the president. I work better with a live audience.
you're like Howie Colbert. Look at what you do.
So, Joe, how long are some of these newspapers going to still be around? I work for a newspaper and always have. I work for the Boston Herald, but some of these papers, like the New York Daily News, now is no longer going to have a newsroom. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, they had the famous newsroom where they filmed the exteriors of Superman, you know, on 42nd Street. The Daily News building became the Daily Planet building. How long are these papers going to last?
You know, I think the big ones maybe survive, but what I told another radio host, I was on his TV show on Fox not too long ago, I predicted that when Donald Trump leaves the stage, whether it's 2021 or 2025, everything crashes. It's going to be like the 2008 crash, right, where media organizations that have committed all of their time and energy towards attacking one person, one protagonist, and once he leaves the stage, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, they're dead. I mean, particularly during a Joe Biden presidency, completely risk-averse. What are they going to talk about when they lose Trump? So, as far as major newspapers, we're already seeing many of them being bought out by, like, hedge funds, and then they're being completely shrank and consolidated. So whatever you knew as your newspaper growing up, you're probably not going to see print editions in 10 years. Right, it's all going to be digital, and then only the big ones will survive, and the smaller newspapers, the ones that actually do good journalism. You know, I always, people say, well, journalism's dead. I'm like, well, the local news is still okay, you know, because you know why? They give you this
some
person
places.
Got killed, this building was on fire, here's where this traffic is, here's who won the game, and here's your weather. And there's no real opinion in it, so that's why that's still a good thing. But everything else sucks because everybody has to insert their opinion into factual reporting.
Yeah, the local newspapers still cover the Board of Aldermen. Oh, that's right. You can't call them aldermen anymore. You have to call them they're all becoming city councilors, Joe. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, good point.
It was either the...
I mean, like local news TV is more what I'm talking about, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I Bill O'Reilly has been saying that for years now, that once Trump leaves office, these left-wing cable outfits are going to be gone. And actually, I think when Donald Trump first ran and he used to call the New York Times the failing New York Times, I think he was on to something. I think they were losing money. And that's the time when the Graham sold the Washington Post to the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos, right? And now I think even the Washington Post is probably at least breaking even now. Not that it really matters to Bezos, but you know they've got all these digital subscribers. But yeah, you're right. Who's going to subscribe if when Donald Trump's gone, whether it's 2021 or 2025?
There won't be enough Carlos Slims in the world to buy all these newspapers, right? But as long as you keep your column, Howie, that's the important thing. Hopefully, the Herald is doing okay.
We're bare bones for sure, but we're hanging in there. I think we're making more money than the Boston Globe. Let me put it that way, because John Henry, the owner of the Boston Globe, he's also got to deal with the Boston Red Sox, which is the worst team in baseball. That's amazing.
What the hell happened to them?
From first to worst in 2 years. It's amazing. Connie Mack, you know, at least sold off the whole team. But now that I think about it, the Red Sox were selling off the whole team, too. John Henry is the Connie Mack of the 21st century. And you know, probably most people aren't getting that reference. Connie Mack owned the Philadelphia A's, which became the Kansas City A's, became the Oakland A's. But he was—he had a great—he could build teams, but he couldn't get anybody into the ballpark. Philadelphia was a National League town.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, the Red Sox, what, four World Championships this century? You know, that's three more than the Yankees, so I guess you could take a bad year like this once in a while because it's been pretty good compared to up until 2004, where how long was it? Like 86 years? It was
86
crazy.
Years, but, yes. Curse of the Bambino. That was that's what they called
Bambino.
It. Bambino. Yeah. Joe Concha.
Did you play baseball growing up, Howie?
What? Excuse me?
You sound like a baseball player. Did you play baseball growing up? You sound like a catcher. I could see you catching for some reason.
I was a third baseman, but I wasn't very good. I got fooled a lot on the curveball, you know?
I wasn't, yeah, trouble with the curve.
Yeah, a lot of people had that.
I played third as well. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. Joe Concha from TheHill.com. Thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you on TV. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is Val from Long Meadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
This is Murney in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
One of my texters, if you want to text me, you can text Howie to 63566, says the thing that will kill CNN is the lack of traveling in airports. That's true. But on the other hand, CNN is also pumped into numerous hospitals. And there's more people going to the emergency rooms now with the rioting and the looting and violence going on in the big cities. So maybe that's making up for the lack of CNN airport viewers. 844-500-4242. Kathy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kathy.
Can you hear me, Howie?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, what I was explaining to the gentleman was that I've been being treated since 2011 at Weill Cornell Medical and New York Presbyterian at a research hospital.
Right.
And I can't go in there because they're requiring that I quarantine for 2 weeks, and I have, my doctor has been dying for me to have all these tests run, and my health is declining rapidly, and yet I can't fly in there, but they're letting all of these entertainers come in without quarantine. And Cuomo is, you know, he won't let people like me. There are lots of people who have, who come into New York for,
where do you live, Kathy?
Medical care.
Kathy, what state,
well,
do you live,
I
in?
I live in Naples, Florida, but I've lived there for 4 years. But my health has rapidly declined in the past year. And I've been to New York. I went there in March and April. My husband made special arrangements for me to go in.
And they're telling you, Kathy, they're telling you, you're being told by the hospital that you can't come in because they can't accept you into the hospital until you've quarantined for 2 weeks?
Well, they're making all the doctors do that. So my doctor, I would have to stay in a hotel room for 2 weeks, which I can't do that because I have to do certain things to stay alive, but I need to go into Weill Cornell at a research medical center.
You can't get somewhat similar treatment in Miami, say, or Tampa.
No, you have to understand, this is a research. They've given me experimental medicine.
Mm-hmm.
They have that capability. It's not like I can just transfer anywhere, but I can't even get these tests run.
Who's your congressman, Kathy?
He's leaving from Naples, and there's a new congressman coming in, but Rick Scott's from my area.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
And,
you should call Senator Scott. I mean, he can at least make a call on your behalf. I mean, there's some.
Andrew Cuomo's going to do anything about that when he's killed all these people in nursing homes in New York?
I don't know. I would just say, I would say that's your best bet, though. I mean, you know, Scott used to be the governor for 8 years. He knows Cuomo. You know that, right?
I know. He He lives down the street from me.
Governor Scott does? Why don't you hold on, Kathy, and give your name to give your name and number to Grace when we get off here, and we'll call Governor Scott or Senator Scott now in the morning and see what we can do. Hold on, stay on the line. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.